The Merrijig Inn is classified by the National Trust and listed on the Victorian Heritage Database. The Merrijig was built around 1846 for William Middleton. Its position opposite the jetty on the Moyne River made it popular with ships' crews visiting Port Fairy during the 1840s. The property was acquired by the government in 1852 and used for many different purposes afterward: a courthouse, municipal offices, police headquarters, and a police barracks. It was also used as a private residence at times. In the 1980s, the Merrijig was renovated and reopened as a private hotel. It is one of the properties associated with the town's ghost stories where you can stop for a meal or beverage or even stay overnight. I can testify that the food and accommodation are excellent. I stayed overnight in room 5 years ago, hoping for a ghostly experience of my own, but didn't have any luck. Next time, I'm going to try room 8. Our book contains numerous stories about ghostly encounters at the Merrijig. Just researching the property was spooky. There were many deja vu moments as the same stories were recounted by people who had worked at the Merrijig at different times and didn't even know each other. One of the subjects that came up a couple of times was flooding at the property. A former manager, Monique Pollack, tells a wonderful story about her experiences there. Monique started working at the Merrijig in the year 2000. This is an extract from her interview. When I first started there, I definitely felt like I was being tested. I would arrive in the morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock for breakfast and would walk past the toilets in the hallway, which were just beside the stairwell, and the carpet would be absolutely saturated. You know, you'd walk in and you would be squish, squish, and you'd think, what is going on? This was happening in the old part of the Merrijig, the inn part, not in the house. So I called the plumber. And I would have called the plumber 3 times about it. Eventually, we ripped the carpet up and there were tiles underneath with no evidence of water coming through. There were no taps running when I got to work, no sign that someone had put a plug in and just let it overflow. But the carpet was saturated with water. The Merrijig is across the road from the wharf, so the plumber went and checked the water levels there. And he said maybe the water's coming up through the ground, but it doesn't make sense because you've got tiles there. Why isn't it coming up everywhere else? Anyway, he said, the only thing I can put it down to is you've got a ghost. He only just suggested that. It's not that he sensed it. It was simply that he couldn't solve the problem. Interestingly enough, once he suggested that maybe we had a ghost, I sort of decided, right, I know what I'm dealing with now. So the next time I came in, and it was like that, I stood there and said very loudly, this needs to stop. Someone is going to get hurt. All I am trying to do is my job. If I arrive in the morning and I have to clean all this up, I can't get breakfast ready for everyone. No one is interfering with whatever it is you are doing. We're all just trying to do our job and do it well and make sure everyone stays safe. I just said it really loudly and it never happened again. It never happened again. Contrast Monique's experience with Felicia Barber, who worked at the Merrijig as a cleaner 7 years later. This is an extract from Felicia's interview. The taps would come on by themselves in the attic rooms. The en-suites had little basins with really old taps. Probably not original, I'm not sure. They were brass and they used to squeak when you turned them on. You'd hear that eek eek sound, and often as I was walking up the stairs I would hear the squeak of the taps. They weren't exactly light when you turned them on yourself. You had to really turn them on. Anyway, on a few occasions, at least 10 at a guess, they were on full bore. Sometimes I would be in the next room and I'd hear the squeak of the taps, and they would be on full bore when I checked on it. I told them off for doing it. I used to say, look, you're going to get me into trouble. I'm going to get the blame for this. Whether the ghosts liked water or wanted to set me up, I don't know. There was no explanation for the taps coming on. It was probably the highest pressure you could turn a tap on. Sometimes it would just be left as a trickle or a constant flow. I was forever tightening the taps in that place. I thought I was going stupid. Every time I cleaned the en-suites, I would make sure every tap was as tight as anything. When actual people were in the room using the taps, you'd hear the same squeak. But when everyone had checked out, they'd come on by themselves, and it was really weird. I told the plumber about it. I said, oh, the taps keep turning themselves on here. And he just kind of looked at me and said, yeah, righto. They had a problem with water on the walls. It was outside the public toilets on that wall. I don't know if it got fixed or if it was just something that couldn't be explained. Water was coming down from the ceiling. They had different plumbers come in, just shaking their heads. The business was up for sale at that point and I wasn't going to have a job anymore, so I'm not sure what happened with that, but it was a lot of water. We would like to thank Monique and Felicia for generously allowing us to include their stories in this tour. As you can tell already, the town's ghost stories are extraordinary, so hang on to your hat because we're just getting started.